welcome back to another episode of Fungula. Our guest this week. Wait, first of all, before we get into our guest, we got some housekeeping stuff. I keep forgetting. We have a new engagement situation that's happening. Okay. I have a comment that I'm going to read from one of y'all on the Instagrams. Okay. Now, this was from our episode with Dale. And this one was, I was talking about the amount of thoughts that we think in our head. And she was giving us the actual like numbers because she remembers data. And I just remember like some half of a quote of something. So she was like giving the data of the thoughts that we think in our head and how many are negative. And this person said, no, 90% of mine are not negative. I would say maybe 50%. I'm terrible at being negative. Congratulations to you. I don't know a lot of people like that. I feel like a lot of negative thoughts roll through here and I got to fight them. I got to be like, nah. And I got to choose the positivity. And by choosing the positivity, it does breed more positivity. So maybe you've just been choosing positivity for a majority of your life and now it comes easy to you. But so shout out to High Five Me.
Well,
that's the name, High Five Me. Yeah,
my instinct,
I believe that.
My instinct is to reply back and be like, okay, and what medications are you on?
Yeah, that, sure.
Give us your tips and tricks.
Yes, so shout out to High Five Me. Okay, with that being said, call us, leave us a voicemail message, tell us what you're grateful for, leave us an Apple review, all the things. And you want to tell them the phone number really quick and then we can jump into who our guest is?
Just waiting for you to toss it to me.
Okay, and go.
Thank you. Give us a call or text us at 747-530.
No.
Whoa, I just had a brain fart.
I toss to you always because I don't remember the phone number. 747-300-5380. 747-300-5380. Give us a call. Ooh, yeah.
Wow, that was such a brain fart I had.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, actually.
All right. Well, you can do that. Or if you feel like it, you can email us at fungulapodcast@gmail.com. And then, of course, when you're on Angela's website buying tickets to Fungula Live, there's a form there you can fill out as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, Fungula Live. We're going on tour. Get your tickets. If there's any left, I'll be honest. How about that? If there's any left, okay, you want to come be a part of a live taping of Fungula, come and check us out and hang out with us. Okay, now our guest for this episode, an award-winning magician. I'm talking Best of Vegas magician, okay? I'm talking the International Magician Society names her Best Female Magician. Like, I'm talking awards, you guys. On the episode, we have Jen Kramer. She's incredible. This conversation was so fun. We laughed a lot. She gave us some insight into the like magic world. She is currently the only headlining female magician in Las Vegas. So you definitely want to go check out her show at Westgate Casino and Resort. And before you go do that, just listen to this episode and you will fall in love with the wonderful, the magical Jen Kramer.
We just want to have fun. Yeah. We just want to have fun.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Chat away.
All right.
Hi, Jen.
Hello.
Thank you, Angela, for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. Are you okay? So, are you in town doing like a press run, or like do you live here? Or like, what's
so? I am based in Vegas. I do my show at Westgate every Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Wow.
So
all year round. Like, do you get any time off? Like,
pretty much. We do around 48 weeks a year. We'll sometimes take some time off and tour, which is also a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Do some touring.
Does your show change at all? Like, are you, oh, I'm working on this new, I almost said joke, because that's my business. Like, I'm working on a new magic trick. Is that how you, I don't want to.
For sure. No, I think for me, the show's continually evolving.
Okay.
Absolutely. And I don't know if I'll ever really reach a point where I feel like it's a finished product. I don't know if you can relate to it. I guess in the comedian world, you go and you tour and then you film a special and then that material is out there.
Then you move on. You gotta write new stuff.
Final form. And But I feel like with my show, it gradually evolves over time. So we'll take something out, we'll put something in. I'm constantly working on new material. Wow. And then it's just a question of how do we kind of work it into the existing
what
material we
have. What inspires you to come up with your material?
Ooh, so many things. I want to ask you the same question. For me, I mean, I think a lot of it is I'll have notebooks of ideas and I'll kind of know where the show is right now and what do I feel like the show needs more of. So a couple of years ago, or I guess to take it back for context, when I opened the show at Westgate in 2018, I had been traveling with a show that you could do at corporate events and colleges, and and you could carry it in two suitcases that you'd roll through the airport with the one carry-on on top and the backpack. And like I had that situation dialed in. And now we'll, you know, when we tour, we'll ship out, you know, LTL Freight 2,000 pounds worth of props and bring a crew.
Wow.
And so the process of growing the show in terms of the scale of props was also something I was thinking about. So a couple of years ago, a big inspiration was, how do I take the thing that matters to me most about magic, which is connecting with people genuinely and sharing that experience of wonder, but also making it fit this stage in Vegas and making it fit the theaters that we're touring at on the road. So we added a giant purple sparkly motorcycle that we make up here. And we wanted to keep kind of the elements of connection and audience participation, but also expand prop-wise. And I wanted to think, okay, what fits in narrative-wise with what we're doing in the show, so it doesn't just feel like, oh, here's another trick. Here's another thing. So lots of inspiration. But how about you, may I ask? I know you're the podcast
I have one more follow-up question to that. When you talk about, like, so you had your two-suitcase act that you could do at corporate events and whatever, and then you evolve in your props and stuff. That process of, like, evolving, is it, this is, well, I can afford more props now, so let me do that? Or is it, well, this is convenient to travel, so let me just keep the show here? Is it, is there any sort of, like, because I imagine you're taking a risk on yourself with the more bigger, elaborate props. So is there an element of, not in my, I'm trying not to project my insecurity onto you and your story, but like, am I worth this big prop? Can I pull this off? Like, is there any element of that as you're growing, I mean, as a magician?
I think anytime you try to do something new, there's a little bit of that element.
Yeah.
But I think deep down, I was always excited about the idea of doing things that involved these bigger props and bigger illusions. And I liked kind of stretching my comfort zone in that way. Okay. It was both a little bit scary. Like, I remember when we were doing some of the choreography and some of the blocking with the illusions and, you know, having different people involved and the way that that choreography would have to happen. Even, I mean, an example, even backstage, the backstage choreography of magic. I think if you watched the show from backstage, the absolute game of Tetris that the crew plays so expertly, I admire it. Like, they are Tetris masters. We fly a 600-pound, that motorcycle, not for any magical reason. The flying doesn't contribute to how it magically appears, but it lives in the air just for storage reasons so that the other props can move accordingly and so that everything fits in a limited space backstage. So up until a few minutes before it just shows up out of nowhere, it's up in the air, rigged, just for storage purposes. So there was a learning curve with that of just how do we figure out how to integrate this into the show? How do we block it properly and do all the choreography? But I also found that exciting because it's something that deep down I was always really excited to do.
Going back for a second, on this podcast, we do mattitudes and gratitudes. What makes you mad? What are you grateful for in life? But give me just, like, you know, a little bit of your backstory of how you started. Did you always know you loved magic? Was it, like, when was that moment for you where you're like, this is what I want to do? Like, give me a little bit of your backstory.
So when I was 10 years old, my Uncle Steve gave me a book called The Royal Road to Card Magic. It was this old school magic book from the 1940s, gave it to me as a birthday gift, and I completely fell in love with it.
Wow.
And from that point on, it was just eat, breathe, sleep magic.
Good old Uncle Steve.
Good old Uncle Steve.
Did Uncle Steve love magic, or was he just like, hey, this is a fun thing?
He did, and he still does. In fact, he just came out to Vegas last week to surprise us.
Oh, how fun.
And he came to the show. And
he's got to feel good knowing that he's part of your, like, origin story of magic.
Well, I'm so thankful. Speaking of gratitude, I am so grateful because it just goes to show you never know the impact that something will have. I just had this conversation with my uncle who gave me this book because he's like, how could you know? Like, you give your niece a gift as a birthday present. How do you know that it ends up being the thing that completely changes her life? And in my case, if I hadn't gotten that gift, who knows if I would have discovered magic and it's become this passion and this thing that I love so much. And so I'm so grateful to my Uncle Steve for introducing
like not me. Only changes your life and you become a magician professionally, but you become a stellar award-winning magician. Like, okay, so I was reading that you won like Best of Vegas magician, right?
Thank you.
Yes. Best of Vegas. And then International Magician Society names you Best Female Magician, like international.
You've done your research, Angela.
Oh, and when I tell you, I was very impressed reading this information about you. And then that you not only graduated from Yale honors, okay, but like then you start even a society there, and to the point like graduated honors Yale. This is how un-honors graduate I am. I am asking Danielle, I'm like, Yale, like Yale, like the real Yale, like that's how I said it, like the real Yale.
I'm impressed. Like, you remember all of these. I'm like, this is so impressive. You got all of this to memory. Thank you. I feel very honored.
That's incredible. Congrats on just life.
Thank you so much. Right back at you. Thank you. Congrats on life. You're crushing it.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
That's very cool. So that's what I mean, even more so, like your uncle's got feels so good being like, wow, I thought it was just a book, but it was actual like God said, here, give this to her. And he listened. And at least that's what I feel. But
so grateful. So that's very cool. So grateful.
Very cool. Absolutely. Okay, so then when you fell in love at 10, when did you say like, oh, I think I'm actually going to do this? Like, is that a thing? Can I be a magician in real life? Like, was that a question in your head? Like, can I be a magician in real life? Is that is that ever?
So ever since I started learning magic, I was performing anywhere and everywhere I could.
That's so cool.
And it started with, I remember we, you know, our family, we went on a trip. We were on an Amtrak train. We lived in New York. And I just, there weren't any seats left on the train. And so little 11-year-old me, I'm like walking up and down the aisles doing magic for up everyone. And down.
Oh, I love on the it. Train. Took your hat off for a tip.
I'd be, you know, at the most random places. I'd be, you know, at the dentist's office, and we'd be in the waiting room, and I'd be doing magic for people. So I was just that kid. I just That's loved cool, it. Man. And so I started doing, you know, my little sister's birthday party. It was my first gig.
I love that.
Paid in pizza and thrilled with that arrangement. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then started doing her friends' parties. Then as I got into high school, it was pretty much every weekend was doing either private events or started doing corporate events.
Yeah.
Then started doing college shows and cruise ships and just kind of working through school as a magician.
Yeah.
And then in college, that was really when I started thinking, okay, how do I take this thing that I love so much and work out the practical realities of turning that into a full-time career?
Yeah.
So I interned in Vegas for a couple of summers.
Wow.
I got to learn so much about the Vegas showbiz world, another thing I'm super grateful for. Mm-hmm. And then during my junior and senior years, essentially started cold calling, cold emailing venues in Vegas, just pitching my concept for a show. And I figured I'm bound to get a lot of no's. These are not people who know me. These aren't warm intros. Mm-hmm. This is just me reaching out saying, hi, I'm in my dorm room in New Haven, Connecticut. Yeah. I'd like to come to Vegas.
Yeah.
So I ended up doing those reach outs. Sure enough, got a lot of no's as expected.
Sure.
Like, we don't have the budget. We haven't done this before. We don't know you, all of these things. But if I just got one yes, I figured it was a win. So I was in some conversations that were promising, and one said, you know what, let's meet in person. Because I knew that was really the thing. I felt like if I were to sit down face to face with someone, that was my best shot at making something happen.
Yeah.
Because then you really can establish that personal connection, and I can show them magic. I can really connect with them. So I thought, that's my goal. Let me just sit in a room with them face to face. And so during my spring break of senior year, flew out to Vegas for that first meeting. And the person I met with said, you know what, we haven't done this before, but we'll give it a shot.
I love that person.
And I am so, again, speaking of grateful.
Yeah.
Grateful for that opportunity, because it was, it was a property that was slightly off the strip. And I figured, uh-huh, let me target those properties that aren't directly on the strip, because I want to offer something that's family friendly, that's convenient for their guests, mm-hmm, right on property. And at that point, it was basically a convention meeting room, mm-hmm, that was like turned into a theater. So, mm-hmm, there's like a TV screen. Mm-hmm. There's just the chairs lined up.
Yeah.
And I knew every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, I had one show that I could count on, and then I could build the other shows around that. So at that point, I was doing a lot of colleges.
Wow.
So would be here on Wednesdays and would travel and do college shows, would do corporate events, would do those private parties and the ships and all of that. And then once we had a working model for that first show, was able to go to some of the other properties we were in conversations with and say, hey, it's going well over at the Wyndham.
Mm-hmm.
And the next property, Marriott's Grand Chateau, said, okay, we'll give it a shot.
Wow.
And then had two weekly shows, and a couple months later added a third weekly show.
Wow.
At a property called Cancun Resort, and did those for the next 4 years until
Incredible.
The opportunity came along at Westgate.
That is such a cool story. I would like to say we both started out of Wyndham, because one of my first jobs, I worked the front desk at a Wyndham hotel.
No
so
way.
I feel you, all queen.
Right. We got the Wyndham connection.
Yes, queen. I knew there was something about you.
I knew there was something.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you got to do your show. It worked out. And then this casino did like the longest run at this one, and then you end up at Westgate, right? Yes. And how long have you been at Westgate now?
So I've been there 8 years.
Wow.
Almost 8 and a half. We opened the show in May of 2018.
Wow, that is cool, man.
Thank you. You know, it's, I get to work with people I love. It's the most awesome team.
Yeah.
I get to do something that I love so much. Like, I genuinely, the fact that the show is about gratitude, like, I am so grateful for that. Like, I do not take that for granted at all.
That's amazing. Tell me, okay, so let's jump in. What, we've already got a couple of your gratitudes out the way, because clearly you feel like the same kind of energy, like you operate in gratitude, so it's easy to like come up with something. But let's dip into a little bit of a mattitude for a second. Like, I want to know what makes you mad. Jen,
Angela,
what gets
you
on your nerves?
Ask me this. I knew you were going to ask me, and I'm in the car on the way, and I'm like, what makes me mad? I was really trying to think about this, because, okay, the absolute truth, it's not that I'm never mad.
No,
like,
okay,
I
sure.
am mad sometimes, but
I am mad, more- you guys. So.
She
I
says
am
with
so mad.
With like the biggest smile I've ever seen.
This is really frustrating me with the biggest smile. I hate this so much.
Okay, so you can see why I was struggling to come up with something. No, it's not that I'm not ever mad. It's that, okay, this is what I was thinking about in the car.
Okay.
That's like the absolute truth of it, is that everybody experiences negative emotions.
Yeah.
And I think for me, that negative emotion would tend to be more towards anxious than mad.
Oh, okay.
Like,
I got you.
Situations that might generally make people mad, I think, might make me anxious, because I really care. Like, I care deeply about what I'm doing, about the people in my life, about, like, I'm somebody who cares a lot.
Yeah.
So, like, if you care a lot, then it means that there can be a lot on the line, and you can sometimes be nervous because you want things to go really well, and you want to do the best you can.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, even for instance, I'm in the car on the way here, I'm like, what are my attitudes? Like, what am I going to think about that makes me mad? Because I'm really kind of thinking, I'm sure, obviously, I'm mad sometimes. Everybody's mad sometimes. And I was like, okay, here's an example. I was trying to respond to some emails in the car.
Yeah.
And it goes on the SOS mode,
where
there's no service, not even one bar.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, you know what? Let me just wait it out. In a minute or two, we'll be back and serve it. No service. The whole time, I'm like turning the phone off, turning it back on.
Uh-huh.
I think that's a situation that most people would be irritated by. And I think I was. But the irritation showed up in the form of slight anxiety that, oh, wait, I have to get back to this person about this thing.
No, I need to send this.
I need to send this.
Yeah.
Not like, oh, I'm mad at the fact that the SOS. So maybe there is madness under it. I probably need to dig deeper and figure out.
Don't dig, girl. Don't dig. Just leave it there. Don't try to search for it. Oh my gosh. No, yeah, yeah. Now you're speaking my language of anxiety, girl. I know a thing or two about anxiety. No, but I totally get that. Your mattitude is that you couldn't come up with a mattitude. Like, that is just
like, oh, I can't even come up with a mattitude. What?
No, I get that. We've become so spoiled with technology that if it doesn't like work like that, that we're like, whatever. And you're like, ma'am, this this signal had to fly all the way over into the outer space.
Exactly.
To get to your friend in, you know, Australia in 0.2 of a second.
Which, by the way, is like magic to me.
Yes!
As a magician, I'm like, okay, you can hear about the cell towers and the range and the, like, the, you know, you can explain all the logical things.
Yeah.
Still, it's magic. 100%. I send a thing with my thumbs.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, somebody many thousands of miles away receives it an instant later. Yeah. Like, that to me, it really is very magical.
Planes flying is magical to me. Like, you can explain to me all day long.
Yeah.
The physics.
Yeah.
The, all of it. And I'll be like,
it's a metal tube flying through the sky.
Yeah. When it comes down to it.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's like, it doesn't matter what you know, but the aerodynamic, that to me, I agree. It's like, it's pretty magical. It's pretty, it's like that Arthur Clarke quote about any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. It's.
Wow. Yeah. The Arthur Clarke. I was going to say the Arthur Clarke one. That was, you took. Nah, dang it.
I knew. That's right.
You brought it up first. I'll give it to you.
I love, by the way, this is such a cozy,
Oh, set. Good. Yeah, that's your blanket there. Get cozy if you want. Okay. All right. Do you have siblings?
I do. I have two younger sisters.
Yeah. Yes. What industry are they? What do they work in?
So they're in PR. They're both in New York.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. And one of them plays guitar as well.
Beautiful.
So, yeah.
What do they think of your like magic career? Are they like, my sister's a magician?
I think if you're the sibling of a magician, you just like, as a kid, you're the guinea pig for all the tricks.
Okay, yeah.
So I feel like growing up, they were like, oh, another card trick. Mm-hmm. But they're super supportive. They're great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think they knew magic was my thing and they wanted to carve their own, their own path.
Do you ever hit them with a new trick and they'll be like, what? Like, you got them? Like,
oh, I love doing that. Because you know, like the people in your life who, you know, my husband Dylan, who's over there, my sisters, my parents, who've been so wonderfully supportive. Like, you know, or certain very close friends. You know, there are certain people in your life where you can show them something. Yeah. And I wonder if it's the same with comedy, where you can ask for feedback and you know that they really will be honest.
Yeah.
And with magic, it's so important because there's such an element, actually probably comedy, I'm sure, is very similar, that you can practice for hours in your room at your house and you don't get that last bit of practice until you're actually with people because it's the kind of art that's interactive. The
pressure's on.
Completely.
Yeah.
And so there are certain variables that don't come into play until other people are engaging with the magic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think having those people who, like, you know, they're going to be honest and you know they're going to say, hey, that magic thing flashed. I saw a thing I wasn't supposed to see. Uh-huh. And knowing that you can show it to those people before you bring it out to
so you test general audience. On your husband, like, he's your guinea pig now?
All the time.
Yeah, yeah,
all
yeah.
the time.
Okay.
I think you sign on to that.
Does he ever pitch ideas to you of like, why don't you try that? Like, come up with ideas.
Sometimes. But you know what I love about Dylan is people always ask, does he know how all the magic works? And it's really on a need to know basis. And
really? Even with your husband?
Even my husband.
Okay.
Something I love too about him is he's of the camp. He's like, let me just experience the wonder. I don't even want to know.
Yeah,
I want to feel like I'm 5 years old again.
Oh, that's cool.
And just experience it. But you can tell, like, you know, you step on stage, you know, there are two kinds of audience members. There are the audience members who are like, let me experience the childlike joy and wonder of it. And then there are the ones who are like,
trying to figure it out.
I am going to dissect every inch. I need to figure this out. Uh-huh. They're like the analytical, I need to solve this puzzle
kind of people. How'd you meet your husband?
We met, actually, he interviewed me on a podcast.
Oh.
So maybe we're going to get married after
this. Oh, my gosh. I felt it. I'm telling you. I thought it was the Wyndham, but it's not. It's we're in love. I knew it was something. Oh, my gosh. Okay, you met on a podcast.
Yes. Which, by the way, back to the you never know how certain things will change your life.
Yeah.
This is a great example of that.
Okay.
I almost didn't do that podcast. Not because I didn't want to.
What was the podcast? Like, what was, like...
So it was Dylan at the time was a part of the downtown Vegas scene. So
okay.
Tony Shea from Zappos was revitalizing the downtown Vegas area.
Okay.
And Dylan was brought to Vegas with his co-founders. He was the CTO of a tech company, a ticketing company.
Okay.
And as part of the group of companies that Tony invested in, everybody who was involved would do one volunteer-oriented activity.
Okay.
And Dylan's volunteer thing that was to give to the community was to have this community podcast, and people coming through would be on the podcast, and it was this great group of people who would gather every Thursday night. Everybody was truly in it because they were passionate about it, and you could tell.
Yeah.
Like, everybody would show up every Thursday just ready to have a great time. It was, the vibe was on point. So I end up randomly meeting someone who books for this podcast, and they film at 9 p.m. on a Thursday.
Oh.
And at the time, I was doing a lot of traveling.
Yeah.
I had a college show the next night I think it was Philadelphia. It's like on the East Coast.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm canceling.
And
Yeah, I'm not coming. I got an early flight, bro.
So I'm like, if I'm flying out. And, you know, at that time, especially, like, it was, I loved it. I so enjoyed it. I was getting to do something I loved, but it was also a grind in terms of you'd get to the airport with your rolling bags.
Oh, yeah, girl.
You'd be, you know, you'd go on the plane, you'd then get off the plane, you'd go, you'd tech the show, and then you would do the show that night and get back on a plane. So it was very much, like one thing after the next. So I'm like, if I have this early morning Friday flight, am I really going to do this podcast at 9 p.m. on a Thursday? Mm-hmm. And I almost didn't do it. It was really 50-50. I wanted to. The booker, her name was Jillian. She's a lovely woman, was super kind. I was like, you know what? Let me fit this in before I go. I'll just visit. I won't stay for the after party. I'll do the podcast and then I'll fly out the next morning. If I hadn't have done it, who knows if we would have met. So it's so crazy to think those seemingly tiny moments at the time.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know what impact that decision would have on my life.
Totally.
I thought it was just, am I going to do this one random show or am I not going to do it?
Absolutely.
And yet it changed my entire trajectory of my life.
Did you guys vibe right away?
So I think we've talked about this. Yes, as people. Like, I think we both were in work mode at the time.
Sure. Okay.
He was in kind of interviewer mode and I was in interviewee mode. So we can watch it back. We have the footage. We'll watch it back on anniversaries.
Wow.
Like, nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. That awkward kind of first hello.
Uh-huh.
But we definitely got along really well as humans.
Uh-huh.
And then afterwards, we were talking and had a really nice conversation. I think that's when
you're like, you know what? I think I will stay for the after party. You know what?
Well, you know what really happened?
I have TSA pre-check. It's fine. It's fine.
Thank you, TSA pre-check. Yeah. what actually happened was I brought him a falafel. So, okay.
Give us the details, girl. Get in.
The falafel was really what I think changed the course of the night.
Falafel, that was your love language. You were like, that's it. She's my wife.
So I show up and I think, okay, I'm just going to do the show. And I show up and, like I said, the energy, like, everybody there was doing this as a volunteer thing.
Yeah.
Everybody really wanted to be there.
Yeah.
And people would show up. There was a studio audience of probably 50 or 60 people who would show up religiously every Thursday night. And it was such a community. They had a DJ. It was just a fun atmosphere.
Yeah.
And you could just tell everybody was genuinely so thrilled to be a part of it. So I'm there. Everything's great. We do the interview. And then a whole group of people are like, oh, we're going to go right next door to the falafel place. We're going to get some food. I was like, I'm hungry. Let's go get some food. Dylan is hosting this after party, so he can't leave.
Okay.
But I hear him mention that he's hungry too.
Okay.
So when the whole group of us goes to get food, I'm like, oh, we should bring Dylan back a falafel. And at that point, we had just finished the interview.
Yeah.
I liked him as a person, but I really wasn't thinking anything.
You weren't
at
trying
that
to
moment.
Win. You weren't trying to falafelize him.
I was
you
not were just... trying to falafelize. I was just thinking the dude was hungry.
Yeah. Okay.
So we come back. I bring this extra falafel. Now, I didn't know this at the time, but apparently Dylan's boys said to him, oh, she brought you food. She's really into you. So, like, you should really try to make a move.
Yeah.
Which, like, interesting because at that moment.
That's so funny. Bruh, she brought you a falafel.
Everybody knows when you bring a falafel.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm kind of glad that they landed yeah. to that conclusion, because by the time, like when I gave him the falafel, we had a really great conversation. And I think in the course of that conversation sure. was when.
Yeah. There was a vibe.
There was a vibe.
Then it was. Yeah. yeah. And okay, I have so many follow-up questions for you, but you don't have a microphone. Okay,
I can,
all right.
I can hand him one.
So then how, okay, yeah, here, hand him it real quick. I just have a follow-up.
Also,
just
this
real
whole
quick.
Time, I keep thinking, did he falafel in love?
Oh, that's a good one.
I know, there's something there. There's something.
It's in it. We'll work on it. We'll workshop
it.
It's in there somewhere. Yes.
Okay, that's going in the next show.
Okay, real quick, because we're not on camera, but audio at least, they can hear you. Mm-hmm. So, okay, when in that conversation, you got the falafel, and maybe there's food in your teeth, maybe there's not, like, were you like, hey, do you want to go to dinner? Do you want to, like, is it right there in that moment that you're thinking, like, I like this girl, let me, or?
Yeah, well, my friends were just so, like, I'm 100% confident. Like, you would not get a falafel if she did not want to be kissed. Like, you'd be really going to, like, pass this up. And, you know, I guess credit to them for yeah. pretending they knew, like, with confidence.
Yeah, with confidence.
That was the confidence I needed to make the move. But, yeah, they were just like, yeah, go for it. And I did, and it worked. And I was like, you guys are all right. You guys are so smart.
So smart.
You guys always know good love advice. Thank you.
That's so great. Thank you. Thank you for letting me throw you in the mix.
Dylan POV.
How long did you guys date, like, before you got married? Like, when did it get serious, all that? I know that we're going to get into all your gratitudes, but I'm so interested in the sure. magician's love story.
We got married for our 10th anniversary.
Wow. So okay, so you guys are together
February
for a minute.
February 2016, and then wow. we got married February 2026.
Look at you guys. Wait, so you just got married?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank
on
you
your
so
stage?
Much. On my stage.
But not during
Vegas.
Your show. Just.
So actually, I came out, and so we have this big old school elevator. You know those historic
yeah.
elevators that are so beautiful with the dials?
Yeah.
So the dial counts down, and that's how we made our appearance for the wedding.
Oh.
But I step out of the elevator in a black dress,
ooh.
And Dylan is in his tux.
Ooh.
And then I do a quick change act in the show where in the blink of an eye, you're in, you know, a black dress, then a pink dress, then a green dress.
This is the coolest wedding I've ever heard of.
So we figured, you know what, we have our family and friends here. I want to share something with them, and I want to customize it for the wedding. So we did a custom version of that quick change act where I change into 8 different dresses in the blink of an eye magically. And then the final one, long white wedding gown. And I walk through we have the 2 FQ100 fog machines and the fog first. And I walk through the fog, and we had so much fun.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible.
Thank you.
That's an entrance. That's, listen.
Thank you.
I think I walked down to like an acoustic Bruno Mars song. Like that was. Oh my gosh.
So what was your wedding like?
Not that, girl. We don't want to waste time on it. That's what an incredible wedding. How fun. How
Thank
fun.
You. Thank you. Well, a fun fact about Westgate is that before it was Westgate, it was the Las Vegas Hilton. And before that, it was the International.
Yeah.
And Elvis Presley performed 636 sold out shows.
Whoa.
His residency was at this property.
Was that his last residency? Like his.
I think it was.
Like, and then he dies after that.
I think
right?
it was.
I'm pretty sure.
I think so.
Yeah. If I remember the movie correctly, I think that
was
it.
I'm thinking back to also.
I was visualizing the movie. I was like, and then they signed someone on a napkin. Hold on. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute.
Yes.
Wow.
So there's all this Elvis history at the hotel. So we ended up doing the reception at the penthouse, which has been renovated, but it was where Elvis used to live.
No
when
way.
He did his residency, which was also a blast because
incredible.
It's not really a traditional space for a reception. It was a lot of wandering, and we had a couch that was a living couch. So, okay, have you ever seen those performers who look like they're metallic, like they have the body paint
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
they're like completely living statues, like they're just not moving, which props to them, that's got to be so difficult to do. So we had a couch, and imagine it's like a gold and metallic couch, and there are people who are painted in body paint who are a part of the couch. So you go to sit on the couch and someone like... taps your shoulder. So the couch comes alive. We wanted to have magical elements. We wanted to make this a magical kind of immersive experience.
Is this on video? Can I watch it? Where do I see it? Oh, this is so cool. Thank you. This, you know what's funny is as I'm saying that, I'm like, is this on video? I want to watch it. I want to see it. But I almost hope it's not. I hope it's just for you and your guests. And I hope none of us ever get to see it in real life. And we just get to hear about it because that is so cool.
You know, I heard an interview recently with Felix, the creator of Sleep No More in New York, where it's like Macbeth, but you walk through it and it's immersive and it's this kind of interactive theater experience. And he said his favorite project he's ever done was this really extravagant, incredible thing, but it was only for four people, and only four people ever saw it.
Whoa.
And he thought like that was part of the beauty of it, was that it was this unbelievable thing in the desert with all of this pre-production and all, but just for four people. And it was this one experience. They have this unbelievable story to tell.
That is really special. That is really kind of him to do, because listen, sometimes I'll do like my makeup really good for like one thing and I'm like, not enough people saw this magic. I need more people to see this artistic creation that just happened, and I will make sure I'll film a video just to post it. I didn't have nothing to say, but I just need everybody to see what I did. Never in my life would I ever create something and only have four people see it. That is wild.
Right? By the way, I think that made me think of my Mattitude.
Okay.
Oh, I think that made me think of it. Okay. So when you said the putting on makeup, I'm trying to work on enjoying the process of makeup and hair. Like, it's nice. I'm doing, you know, I'm here in LA this week and doing some shows. So I'm going to do a TV thing, and they have the makeup artist who does the hair. And then it's fun because you're chatting and it's, you know, somebody who's really great at it doing what they do. But just the everyday when I do my hair and makeup for the show, I really think some people relish those moments. I think some people really enjoy that getting ready process. I'm working on that. I do listen to podcasts. I try to make it, you know, an educational, productive time. But I wish more than anything that I could just snap my fingers at any time and 100%. Just be ready to go on stage. Like, I think that would be such an incredible superpower to have.
Yeah.
Dylan asked me early on in dating what superpower I'd want to have, and that's what I said. He thought I was going to say something epic. He thought I was going to be like, I'd like to fly, I'd like to read minds, I'd like, you know, something like really, I'd like to teleport, like something very grand and epic. I was like, no, I think really something practical that would just, you'd get so many more hours out of the day.
Yeah.
Right? Imagine if every day, especially as a performer where you need to do your hair and your makeup, it's like, if you could just snap, boom, like I'd have hours back every week.
I fully agree with this Mattitude. I am on board. I co-sign this Mattitude.
The amount of time it takes to do hair and makeup, that's my Mattitude.
There's times my team will ask me like, hey, can you film this video, we need to sell tickets for this show, and I'm like, I don't have makeup on today. You're gonna have to, I'm not putting no makeup on today. No thank you. You're gonna have to wait until Thursday when I plan to put makeup on.
Yes. And it just requires so much additional planning in that case. Right? Because then it's like, okay, I have to think through like my entire week of what am I going to be doing and when am I gonna have makeup or not? And okay, if I wanna go and do that workout, or if I wanna do this, like it all has to, it just requires all this extra.
I love to not wear makeup.
That's my Mattitude.
Yeah. On board, cosign.
All right,
let's move back into gratitude now that we're so frustrated about that. Let's move back into some gratitude from your life. Thinking back, whether it's something from when you were growing up, something from college, something from your first gigs, something from your dating life, something from your career that just happened in this past month, like anything in your life that makes you feel, oh, I'm so grateful for this. Tell me some of those.
I am really grateful for the people I grew up with in magic, because like I'm asked all the time about what's it like to be a female magician in a field that historically has been really male dominated. And I think that's really changing, and I think that's awesome. Like, there are more and more girls and women becoming magicians these days, which is so cool. But I think growing up in magic, I was a part of a young magicians group, and we'd meet in the basement of a taco restaurant in New York City called Maui Tacos.
Yeah.
And then we ended up meeting in the back room of a magic shop called Phantasma Magic. And we'd meet on the first Saturday of every month, and we'd show each other the tricks we were working on.
How cool.
And the leader of this group was a wonderful man. His name is Albert Lasher. And he was just so kind and generous with his energy and with his time. And he would find opportunities for us 12-year-old magicians to perform around New York. So cool. And it was just such a wonderful, wonderful mentor to all of us. And, you know, so when people ask, well, what was it like in that group? There were maybe 20 boys and I was the only girl. And they're like, what was it like to be the only girl in this group? And, you know, at Magic Camp that I went to, I think there were 100 something boys and maybe 6 or 7 of us girls at the time, I think. But something I'm really grateful for is that I think, you know, that could be a really intimidating situation for a young girl, especially like your middle school age where everybody's feeling awkward.
Yeah.
And I'm really grateful for the fact that the people that I was surrounded by in those formative years were really awesome, supportive, great people. There was Albert, who was an amazing mentor. There were the other magicians in the group.
Is Albert still with us?
Guys. He's not. He's not.
Did he get to see any of your success?
He did see some of when I moved to Vegas, and I had a wonderful conversation with his wife and a few years ago, and he's somebody who had such a fantastic impact. And I think about the way that he, you know, he found an opportunity, for example, at Kids Zone TV at Mount Sinai Hospital. They have this closed circuit television studio, and I think this is such a cool thing. They'll have pediatric patients can call in from their rooms and participate in game shows. And we would and we'd host the shows and we would do magic. And the fact that Albert facilitated this, that he took, you know, these young magicians and gave us these opportunities to make a positive difference with what we were doing. Yeah. And, you know, he taught us so much. And so I think just the great mentors, you know, my Uncle Steve introducing me to magic, the other young magicians who were in the group, some of whom were at our wedding.
Yeah, you know, how cool.
Still close. I think, you know, at just having those supportive people in my corner is something I'm really grateful for.
I love that. Community is so powerful and so important to me that
absolutely.
It really, even as you're like, you're coming up and you're going through your different seasons of your career, to have those people in your life that support you and understand you and what you're going through, like the other magicians from your group, understand the dream that you're going for, because, you know, they're going for it too. A question that I thought of while you were explaining that, I know like your husband, he's like, I want the mystery still, like, don't give me the behind the scenes, and like, there's people like that in your life. But when magicians get together, are you guys like tell all, like, oh, this is how I did this? Or do you guys still keep it from each other?
You know, I think there's a lot of talking shop and sharing things. And I think, you know, I think in any field, people think sometimes that it's like this really, everybody's super competitive and hiding their secrets. I'm sure there is some of that in any field. There's some degree. But for the most part, the people who I'm surrounded by, it's been really collaborative and great.
Oh, cool.
Like, it's been a really awesome experience just to work with other magicians and to develop magic together, and to say, oh, here's this thing you're working on, and here's a potential, you know, new twist to that, and kind of giving each other feedback. Like, the people who I'm surrounded by in magic, it's been that collaborative kind of community.
Do you have a favorite magician?
Ooh, so many. So many. Yeah. I would say, so there's an organization called Magicians Without Borders that was founded by a magician named Tom Berner and his wife, Janet Fredericks, who's a wonderful artist and mime as well.
So
and
cool.
They founded this amazing organization. Met them when I was 12. Wow. They came and did a workshop at a summer program I was doing. And I stayed after and talked with them and started working with Magicians Without Borders. I'm now on their advisory board.
How cool.
We went to Dylan actually came with me. I think this was his first ever international trip, actually. He went to rural India with us.
Wow.
Talk about just diving in the deep end.
Like, to do magic?
He had never been to Canada, and he went to rural India.
never been to Canada? Oh, that's so funny. Oh, my gosh. And you went to do magic.
Yeah. So Magicians Without Borders, it's an amazing organization, and travel all around the world doing magic for people who are often in really difficult situations. And the messaging is that by doing magic, you're making something that is really seemingly impossible possible. And what an inspiring message for somebody who's really handling so many hardships and obstacles in their life to say, hey, this magician took something I didn't think that was possible. It's possible. What does that mean for me and in my life? And so I think that's really powerful. Beautiful.
Wow, that's really beautiful. I never thought of it that way. Wait, so did you tell me who your favorites were?
Oh, so I was going to say Tom and Janet are two of my favorites. But so many. I mean, I remember growing up watching David Blaine's Street Magic specials and Penn and Teller, who was on their Fula show a few times and cannot say enough wonderful things about Penn and Teller and their entire team. They made those experiences just phenomenal for me, and I know for other friends who have been on the show. Mm-hmm. They, you know, they want to portray magic in a great light. They really care deeply about it. They've been, you know, they provided this amazing platform for magicians to be seen and to showcase what they do. So they've not only been really groundbreaking in what they do, but also, you know, providing these opportunities for the next generation of magicians. So so many. I'm sure I left out a million.
Totally.
How about you with comedy? Were there certain comedians where you were like, okay, they are my inspiration?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, my go-tos of like when I first started in stand-up, the people that I would listen to and admire was always George Lopez, Ellen DeGeneres, Brian Regan, and Mitch Hedberg, but mainly those three, Brian Regan. I like them for different reasons. So George Lopez, I could see myself in his stories. So he was me. He spoke in terms that I use. Like, so it's like, you know, representation matters. Like seeing myself, I can see myself in him. And just, he's hilarious. And I love his stories. And then Ellen DeGeneres, I loved because I love that she was so conversational. Like she was just talking and all of a sudden you're in her act and you didn't realize it. Like she just all of a sudden magically appeared in her stand-up. Like you think you're just having a conversation. You're like, she's on 5 minutes in. I didn't even catch it because she's just so like, it's so easy. Like how she's so conversational and just like so funny. And then Brian Regan's storytelling and his silliness, I really admired. And so those three comics were definitely people that I looked up to as I was starting my own career. And then nowadays, the comics that I really admire are like my openers who I see work super hard and just, you know, writing new material, promoting themselves, like hungry, like they really inspire me. So, I think different seasons of my life, I'm inspired by different people for sure.
I love that. I feel that same way. And I think when you see someone who's working really hard at something and is putting so much love and dedication into it, like I'm sure that's part of the reason you chose them as your openers.
Yeah,
you're
totally.
Like, oh, you're crushing it. And I see that you're like, care about it. I think that shines.
Yeah. And it challenges me too to not coast.
Right.
You know?
That makes sense. Yeah.
Give me some more gratitude from your life.
Ooh, okay. I am grateful that when I graduated from Yale and said, Mom, Dad, I'm going to move out to Vegas and be a professional magician, that they were supportive of that. I mean, they said, you need to figure out how to make that work.
Yeah.
But they were emotionally supportive of it. And I think growing up, they had always taught me, do something you love because we know you. And we know that if you're doing something that you really care about, you are going to work so hard at it and you're going to excel at it because you work really hard at it.
Yeah.
And so they always taught me to do something that I really, really loved.
That's so cool.
When I said, all right, I want to move to Vegas, magic capital, and do magic, they were really just emotionally supportive and I'm really grateful for that.
And I think because they're your parents and they've seen your life and they've seen how dedicated you were to this craft and it wasn't just like a thing that just popped up and you're like, I want to go try this. Like it was something that since childhood was a part of your life. So I'm sure that's why they could be emotionally supportive to you. Like on just the sentence, I graduated Yale and said, Mom, I'm going to go be a magician. Like without context, that's a different story. I would imagine your parents being like,
like you want to do what?
Yeah. Yeah. No, but because I mean, like you said, I mean, your sister's birthday parties and like you, magic has been your life. So that probably like makes sense.
Yeah. Do you have any memories of like first time you saw a magician?
Mm. That is a really good question. I can't think of, like, in real life. I'm sure somebody did, like, a card trick or something. I mean, my grandpa was always playing little tricks and gags, but because he was trying to be funny. Like, he lost a pinky in an accident, his pinky, so he just had a nub. And he would always pretend he was poking his nose. So it was the illusion.
The illusion.
The illusion that he was poking his nose. But just a nub. I think that was my first magic illusion.
And you know what? You know what I really like is he made it his own. Yeah. He's not, that's not a hack trick. That's his trick.
Yeah.
That's something he really made it his.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Wow. Beautiful. Yeah. Hey, where are we at, Danielle? 47. Oh, great. Give me another gratitude. I'm trying to get you mad. No, give me another gratitude from your life.
Another gratitude from my life. So many things I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for, is it too generic to say the people? Because let me get more specific with it. Okay. I'm grateful for, before I go on stage, everybody, yeah, some people do, mm-hmm. some people don't have pre-show rituals, but mm-hmm. everybody has kind of like their way that they go about doing a show. For me, before I go on stage, I like to think about, and it's a really quick process. This isn't some long
ritual
routine. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is like 15, 20 seconds, you know, mm-hmm. right as I'm about to walk mm-hmm. on stage. And I'll challenge myself to make it something different every day. But I'll think about just a moment or a person or a conversation or something that just I really love or that makes me really happy. Mm. You know, there's yesterday's. I just came last night and did, you know, my Friday, Saturday, Sunday shows in Vegas. We're filming this on a Monday. So Sunday night, right before I went out, I thought of there is somebody who I haven't seen since high school who randomly left a really nice message on social media. Just a really nice, oh, I remember seeing you perform in our cafeteria and congratulations. Like just a really lovely message from somebody who I hadn't talked to in 15 plus years.
Yeah.
Like just a little moment like that. Or sometimes I'll think about, you know, Dylan and I laughing about something and just a specific little moment that I'll think about right before walking out just to kind of put me in a headspace of just I guess gratitude and love
so
and
powerful.
Positivity. So I'm grateful for the people in my life and for those little moments because I think mm-hmm. they add up. And those little moments, those little moments also I think just make me more present when I'm on stage. And I think especially when you're doing a show night after night, you know, it's just staying present is so key. Like a friend just asked me recently, like, do you get nervous before you go out? And I remember I used to when I, you know, when I was first getting started, absolutely. And I think now it's almost the challenge is the opposite of I never want to coast. Mm-hmm. I'm saying like I never want to go on autopilot. And if you had told 12-year-old me, you know, you're getting in front of hundreds of people and you might be on, like the risk is of being on autopilot. 12-year-old me, but how could you possibly be on autopilot when 300 people are there, 400 people are there? But I think it's like when you've done the same thing and you kind of are going through that, it's staying present and every audience is different. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's so important to be present with that audience. And, you know, people will say and do unexpected things all the time.
Yeah.
Audience participation is a really big part of the show. And I love that.
Yeah.
And I love being able to go off script and to have those moments with people that are real because, you know, like audiences are smart. Audiences know they can sense and they can feel when something is just happening on this specific night with this specific group of people and there's something that really resonates, you know, they can tell. So I think, you know, just being present with people is so important to me. And I think that just those little moments, I'm grateful for the little moments because I think the little moments and thinking of those little moments help me stay really present and grounded, which is something that I value so much. And I just never want to not that way when people are spending their valuable time and deciding to come see the show. Maybe it's the only magic show they'll see in their life.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they haven't seen a magic show since they were 5 years old. Maybe they have been waiting all week and they're celebrating their kid's birthday or their grandparents' birthday. Maybe it's some special occasion. Like, I want to give them my absolute all.
Yeah.
And I think it's thinking about those small moments I'm grateful for that really enables me to be really present in the moment.
That's a really powerful tool to do that. Like, thinking of like a little gratitude moment For we practice gratitude. I used to do it more, I don't want to say religiously, like more routine. And I think it was also, I was really battling with my mental health during that season when I was using gratitude as my tool for my mental health. And so before we would go on stage, we would go around the room in my green room and everybody would go around and say something that they're grateful for. And that was part of my mental health tool to help me deal with my anxiety. And if it wasn't me who was dealing with it and it was my opener or tour manager or somebody in the room, I feel it. If you have anxiety, I have anxiety. So we're going to nip this in the bud and we're going to practice some gratitude because, and I'll try, are you good? Is something going on? Yeah, I'm just feeling a little bit. All right, we're going to practice gratitude. Everybody go around the circle. So we're all raising our vibration together. And so that was something I would do more regularly on tour. I haven't, like this past tour, again, different. I toured with a toddler now, so it's a little bit different. A whole
different experience.
Yeah, it's just a little, like I'm doing bath time right before I go on stage, and I'm just like, oh, stall a little bit. Hold on, I can't find her diapers.
Like, what's your pre-show ritual? Yeah. Diapers and bath time.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, pretty much. But that is such a powerful tool. And even, I might even borrow that and, you know, a couple times before I go, because I'm about to start writing my new hour. And that's usually a lot of anxiety in that, trying new stuff, being vulnerable, failing a lot. When you're on tour, a headlining tour, like this is the such and such tour. This is my act that I'm doing night after night after night. Not much room for failure in it because these are tried and true.
Yes.
Crushed in Cincinnati. So if they don't crush here in Dayton, that's on you. So when you're in that, like you're performing, these are tried and true. This is good. Not much room for failure. When you're writing, lots of room for failure. Lots of room to interpret that failure as something that it's not.
Right.
So that's when I really got to be in tune with my gratitude, with my mental health, like where am I, like processing all of that. So I may borrow that on this journey.
Honored if you do. I hope it's helpful. You know, that makes me wonder, is it harder now to find places to be bad, like to work out things? Because I feel like once you've achieved, like you've achieved so much once you're at a certain level of success and people expect it. That,
yeah.
Then do you find, I mean, how do you work in new things? Yeah. Is it like you sandwich it between the really strong things?
Yeah, 100%. Like, exactly. Yeah. I get you with this tried and true one. Then I try something new. And then if it doesn't work as good, then I'll hit you with another tried and true. Yep. And then like I'll flip flop it like that. Yep. But when you're going up around town and you only have 10 minutes, like there's some comics that are just so amazing. And they'll go up with their notebook of things that they just thought today. And they're just up here trying them like, whatever. You know, and I'm like, I admire that. I wish I was that bold and brave, but no, I'm going to work on one little bit and I'm going to sandwich in between two tried and true bits. Because even though I've been doing this for 20 years, I'm still a vulnerable little girl and I don't want to fail.
Totally. I'm the same way. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, what was interesting too, as you were talking about sort of the energy of people, like, it's contagious. When you were saying when people in your crew are anxious and you feel anxious, one thing I notice doing shows is like that energy of people is contagious. We do a meet and greet after every show where, you know, I'll connect with the audience, talk with people, and I love that. And I was talking with one group. There was one group of people at my show last night in Vegas, and it just so happened they happened to be sitting sort of centrally and in the middle where other people could really see them and kind of feel the energy that they were giving off, and they were just there to have a good time, and you could just tell they were there to have fun, and I could see it. I could see that energy just trickle, and everybody else became more energized because of it. And I said to them at the meet and greet, I was like, thank you for just bringing the awesome vibes, because it just amplified everything. You know, there would be just moments, and then somebody would say something and then they would really laugh, and it would just, it would create this ripple effect. And I love that. Like, I love the fact that every audience has its own personality, and that you can get up and you can do the same thing you did in Cincinnati, yeah, in Dayton, and you'll know, yeah, that it'll do well because the material's, yeah, strong, yeah, but the audience itself, yeah, and their personality and the way they can respond, yeah, can, yeah, be so different, 100%. Even when you're doing the same thing. And mm-hmm, sometimes it'll make me think, I'll watch back into the footage to, I'll be like, was my tone slightly different on, yeah, this night and on that night? And I'll watch it back, I'll be like, it doesn't seem like it was very different, yeah, but it got a very different response.
It's the so energy in the
interesting,
room.
The energy in the room. And sure enough, like different, the tiniest things with inflection, or they really can make a difference. But sometimes it really is one audience just, yeah, is different from another audience.
My opener that I worked with on this tour, Mel Hall, there's been a few times where he's said, not on the microphone, mainly to us after, mm-hmm, if it was like energy, he'll be like, I hope all of you never see a show together again. Like, all of you together are not the vibe.
You know what's so interesting about that too, that I think, okay, I learned this just from doing the show in Vegas, because it's sort of this controlled experiment, uh-huh, of the same crew, the same theater, the same lighting, the same sound, the same material. You know, it's this controlled experiment where all the variables are the same. Whereas, mm-hmm, you know, we'll tour and we'll be at these wonderful, beautiful theaters, but the variables are slightly different. Yep. So you might think, okay, is it because of the way that this theater's laid out versus, mm-hmm, that theater? But this in Vegas, same situation every night. And I realize that with having that sort of controlled experiment, something I was about to say, and then I totally...
Yeah, I'm riding with you, too. I was like, yeah, tell me. Because you're describing it, and I was like, I want a residency. The same crew, same lighting, same show after show? That sounds incredible.
What was I about to say? We just drove right after the show. I'm like, what are we... Okay, it'll come back to
me. It'll come back.
I'm sure it will come back.
It'll come back. If not, when you get home, send me a voice note. My
latest attitude.
Yes. I was going to ask you.
It's like an experiment, a control group.
I'm trying to. Oh, yeah. We're talking about the energy of the audience.
Oh, I remembered it. Okay.
Thank you, Danielle. Thank you, Danielle.
Danielle. On point. Props to Danielle. Okay. So with it being so controlled, I realized that sometimes I would think to myself, okay, this audience was exceptionally quiet, for instance, mm-hmm, and I would think, ooh, does that mean are they not having as much fun? And then they will like set records and buy more merch than anyone.
Yep.
Or there will be the longest meet and greet line, and everybody will individually, yeah, say how much they enjoyed the experience. And then other times the crowd will be so loud and having the best, uh-huh, time ever. But then after the show, it's
they
like
all just
they're
home.
Off the next thing, and they're not buying merch, or they're not staying. You know, it's like you can't necessarily expect. Yeah. So it did teach me, like, okay, just because one group might be loud or one group might be, yeah, quiet, it might just mean that they appreciate magic differently.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you can't always predict. Because, yeah, sometimes people also with magic, if you're doing magic well, hopefully they're amazed, and hopefully they're sometimes stunned. And sometimes if, yeah, people are amazed, they have very different reactions to, mm-hmm, that. You know, some, mm-hmm, people will like run away screaming, and other people will just like kind of be in shock for a, mm-hmm, moment, and you won't really register what that looks like on them. So
we have the same situation with the comedy shows. Like sometimes, yeah, they're like, oh my God, there was the best crowd. I'm like, okay, you sold $3 in merch. Oh, okay, that's weird. And then it'll be, you know, the opposite. But to quote my friend Mal Hall again, when he's had a show like that where he's like, man, this energy was boo-boo, and then people go through the meet and greet and they're like, ah, oh, what an incredible show, we loved it, he'll be like, well, can you tell your face that, like, your face did not love it. Yeah, we deal with that too. I was gonna ask you, because, yeah, you mentioned every show is different. Every audience is different, excuse me. Every audience is different. And you do crowd work because it's a lot of our audience participation. Now, I haven't seen your show yet, but we're going to, and I'm very excited. Me and all my friends are coming to your show.
So excited to have you.
And my question is, do you have a memory of like an audience participation moment that stands out to you that is like one of your favorites?
So many. So many. But the one that came to mind, because when you were talking about, you know, having your daughter and doing the diapers and things for the show, it got me thinking about kids' moments. And yeah, they say, what is it? Kids and animals, like you can't control, right, it's sort, yeah, of these variables. Well, we do audience participation, which sometimes, because it is a family-friendly show, it's an all-ages show. Mm-hmm. It's not a show specifically for kids, but it's appropriate for kids. Yeah. And we'll do some audience participation that involves kids, and kids will often have no filter.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm thinking of, we used to do a routine in the Vegas show where there was this Rube Goldberg-style machine, like this really funky-looking mechanical contraption. Imagine it's like a big box made of chrome, and it has these brushes and levers and like a big red wheel and LED lights, and it was this funky machine.
Something at the Children's Museum that I've seen. Yes. They're just like, oh, okay, what does this do?
Yeah, we stole it from the Children's Museum. No. So we had this machine. We would have a kid come up on stage, and we would borrow their parents' phone.
Okay.
And we'd say, oh, we're just going to clean the phone in this state-of-the-art phone cleaning machine. The machine would start whirring and doing its thing, and the brushes would move and the lights would go and the thing would, smoke would come out from it, and it was this whole visual thing. And after this whole spectacle, the machine breaks open, all four sides of it crash open, sound effect, and instead of the phone, the parents' phone that was in the machine, there's a broken, shattered phone.
Okay.
Now, because of the tone of the routine, like any adult in the room knows, okay, this is a gag and the phone's going to be just fine.
Yeah.
But there was one time, and the kids would, you know, I'd make sure to be sweet with the kids so they weren't actually terrified that their phone was destroyed.
They're in trouble.
Exactly. But there was one kid who came up and, you know, usually they'd be like shocked or something. One kid, this sweet, sweet little kid, little pigtails, has been sitting there like really quietly and politely and sweetly throughout the show. Comes on stage, I put her dad's phone in the machine. Her dad's phone gets destroyed. And she, the little sweet girl with the pigtails, yells out at the top of her lungs, "What the?
No way."
And the whole audience is losing it laughing. And I'm like, can't even hold it together. I'm laughing so hard. So you just never know.
Oh, that's holy. I know her parents were like.
Oh, the parents were like in their seats like. But the audience thought it was the most funny thing.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Kids, kids say the darndest, say the things. Wasn't that a show?
Yes.
Oh, show for a reason. They really do. I am terrified for when my daughter gets to that age to where she can like start saying awkward things. Oh my gosh, I just saw this video, came in my algorithm, this guy who does funny sketches, and the whole point of the video, he was like, kids at the pool be saying the most random things, and just talk about how kids like will just talk to whoever, and he's pretending to be a kid like swimming like a kid, can't really swim, and he comes up, he's like, my mom doesn't really feed me at the house, that's why I live with my grandma now, can you do this, and he spins in the pool.
It's true. They'll say the craziest thing and then go, do you have a snack? And you're like, all right.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, Rosie's not there yet, but I am terrified for when she can start actually saying awkward things and put me on blast.
She will. She absolutely will.
Oh my gosh.
I bet, hey, that'll be material for your next special.
I mean, it really will. And I do need it. So
you're just following Rosie around going, and what do you think about this?
Yeah.
And what are your thoughts on what about here?
Oh my gosh.
There will sometimes be, we'll do one trick in the show where it's basically a larger than life Facebook page. So I'll have an audience member come up on stage, and then we'll have essentially like a big vinyl, almost imagine like a photo backdrop.
Okay.
But you pull it so that it all falls at once, and the person's face is standing where the profile photo would be.
Oh, fun.
And then the whole thing is made of dry erase. So you like fill out the entire Facebook page around them. So I toss beach balls in the audience, and I ask one person, like, what's his relationship status going to be? And the other person, what's he posting about? How many friends does he have? And then it's all predicted, right? It's like part of a prediction effect. And whenever kids catch those beach balls, because it really is random, and we toss them to show it's random, it's not prearranged. And whenever kids catch those beach balls, oh my gosh, we get, I mean, adults too will sometimes, even though it's the 5 p.m. show, like they will say some interesting, gotten some interesting relationship statuses.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, just a couple shows ago, someone goes, swinger, and I'm like, and I'm looking at, and the room, it's, you know, it's summertime.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Sometimes the room's mostly adults, but it happens to be middle of July, so a lot of kids in the room. So I'm looking out at like the sea of, you know, a bunch of 7-year-olds. I'm like, that means they like to swing at the park.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
They love playing on the swings at the park.
Oh my gosh. Swing, swing on a tree, swing at the park. Yes. Swing, just swing, swings, love the swings.
Love it, love it. So yeah, oh, but wow. Kids will say all kinds of things for the the post and the...
How fun.
Yeah, the number of times I've gotten 67 friends.
Yeah, oh yeah.
67.
4, yeah. Oh, that's funny. And then you got to pretend like it's the first time you heard it. Like, okay. Writing it like, ugh.
Yeah. But I'm sure having Rosie, you will probably be very up on what the newest, like,
I hope. I need help.
Trends are for Gen Alpha and beyond. Because I feel like I find out about the trends from the kids at the meet and greet. But if it weren't for that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would not know.
Yeah.
Or I would know after the fact. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like once I find out about the trend, it's not the cool thing anyway, you know? By the time, like, a kid told me, like, Riz was a thing, then it, like, wasn't cool.
It was gone
already. Nobody was saying it, so.
Yeah. I say that, like, I hope Rosie keeps me up to date on the trends, but then I don't know that she will because I plan to homeschool her, so we're both going to be nerds at home. Like, just not cool. I was with my husband. We were at some little festival, weekend festival in town, and... He ran into somebody he hadn't seen in a while and, you know, doing the whole, hey, how you been? Whatever. Oh, this is my wife, whatever. And his wife and his kids were right there. And she's maybe like, I don't know, 12 or something. And so I'm just like chatting with her like a 12-year-old, right? Mm-hmm. And I said something, you know, I'm calling everybody queen, yes, queen or whatever. And then I was like, or this, isn't that what you guys do these days? And her mom goes, oh, she's homeschooled. She doesn't know.
She's like, oh, my daughter's a nerd.
So. Yeah, she's like, oh, she don't know any of that. I was like, oh, cool, 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 cool. Hey, my daughter too, probably. So, oh my gosh, Jen, thank you so much for coming out. Or do we have time for rapid fires? Or
and if you want, I got some magic up my sleeve. If you're interested. Oh my god, no pressure.
Am I?
No pressure.
Yes. Yeah. Let's do that instead. No, let's do the rapid fire. Skip the No. Yes, okay. And then, let's see, do you have, like, the phone to film just in case we're not? Because that's your camera. If you do anything in the middle, it's not going to be... Okay, gotcha. She has her camera that she'll catch it.
All right, sounds good.
Okay.
Sounds good. All right, let's see. Oh, you know what? I think I know something.
You forgot it at home?
Extra fun. How did you know? No, I'm kidding. No, actually, I have one idea. I'm
gonna pull one. For those of you just listening and not watching, now is when you want to go to the YouTube channel. Just kidding. Yeah, probably. Okay. However, it's going to look for the YouTubes.
Okay. The YouTubes.
I love purple. Purple was my favorite color growing up. Oh my God. Was that part of your magic trick already? Did you know that?
Magic.
Mind you. Oh my God. It's already started.
How did you know?
Okay. Can you really read minds? Can you read minds?
Do you want to see some?
Yeah.
Let's get back to this. Let's see some magic.
Oh my God.
Okay. Let's do magic on
request. I just got scared. Sorry.
Since you said minor, we'll get back to the card trick.
Okay.
Oh yes. Thank you. Since you requested mind reading. Also, Angela, you have the special touch with this. Let me do what you did.
Yep. Yeah. Just go up and then it falls back down.
There we go.
Ghetto Productions presents over here. Okay.
No, but you had it perfect. Like, Angela did the perfect thing where she like raised it where it fell and then it fell exactly into position. Mm-hmm. I'm like, she's a pro. She's a pro. All right. So I picked up at the gift shop at Westgate where I do my show. I picked up a single die. Okay. A little something from Vegas. Bringing out here to LA.
Yeah.
And in Vegas, of course, you see dice everywhere.
Yeah.
And I like to use this to play a little game. So Angela, I want you right now to think in your mind. Just think in your mind of any number 1 through 6. Now, if you want, you could roll the die. But sometimes when I ask people to do that, they say, is it some sort of weighted die? So if you want, roll it or just decide in advance.
Okay.
Any number 1 through 6 doesn't matter.
Okay.
Now, I want to make sure that the viewers at home can know what this number is, but that I don't know. So if you were to whisper it, I might hear it, whatever. I'm going to turn around. Danielle, you make sure I'm not peeking, okay? Make sure.
Okay.
Oh, there's like a giant mirror over there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to look that way. Not going to look that way. Wow, I'm a magician's assistant right here.
Okay.
I'm going to stare directly into this a beautiful painting.
Okay.
And when I'm doing that, how about this? You put whichever number you want. Let's say you want one. Just put it face up on the table like this.
Okay.
That way you can see it. The viewers can see it. And cover okay. it with your hands so I cannot see it.
Okay, okay, okay.
Okay. Now, I was off microphone, so I just said, put it face mm-hmm. up so that way you can see. Cover it so I cannot see it. Okay. I'm going to turn around.
And I'm
going to
show my
look.
Camera yeah, which great. Number I'm going to pick. Okay.
And it's face my number facing up. Cover it so I cannot see it.
Okay, and I cover it with my hand.
Yep, make sure I absolutely right. cannot see.
Okay.
Let me know whenever it's completely covered up.
Yep.
It's covered. I can turn?
Yep.
Okay. Concentrate on this number. Now, Angela requested some mind reading here. Angela, I want you to give me your absolute best poker face right now. Yeah. Yes, poker face, and look right at me. But don't give me any visible indication of the number you're thinking of. Okay. Now, my odds here of getting this right are 1 in 6. These are yeah. not great odds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to do my best. Don't give me any clues. Okay. Okay, right off the bat, you don't have to even say if I'm on the right track. But right off the bat, you're thinking of a lower number. It's not a 5. It's not a 6. It's a lower number. Don't even react at all. Just think about it. Concentrate on that number. 1, 2. Are you thinking right now of the number 2?
Yes, yes, I was. Oh my God, and I was trying so hard to give you like my CIA, like I'm getting interrogated, I'm not gonna fall for this, and I'm like, I'm not even gonna let my pupils get big or anything.
She had a good poker face, I gotta say. She
How'd did. You do that?
It's magic.
Dang.
It's magic. But you know what? Let's take this one step further.
Yeah, let's do it.
Sometimes. People ask, okay, I gave you that poker face. Are you looking for some kind of a micro expression?
Uh-huh,
so
uh-huh.
I thought, let's switch it up this time.
Okay.
It'll start the same way, but this time I won't even count through the numbers at all. So same thing as before. You can show the camera, cover it up so I can't okay. see any number. I will turn my back.
Okay.
Okay, make sure that it is completely covered so that okay. I cannot see it. All covered up?
Yep.
Okay. Now this time I promised I wouldn't even count through the numbers. Instead, I'm going to just ask you a couple of seemingly unrelated questions, Angela. Based uh-huh. on your answers, uh-huh. I'm going to do my best to tell you what number you're thinking of.
Okay.
Okay. Concentrate on it. First thing that comes to mind, speaking of rapid fire questions, first thing that comes to mind, your all-time favorite food?
Chips and salsa.
Chips and salsa. Oh, love some chips and salsa. And where did you grow up?
San Jose.
San Jose. This is so interesting. When you start to play this game and do this with the die with enough people, you start to notice patterns among people. For instance, people who grew up in the San Jose area who also...
What did you say? That they're cholas. I know.
Well, people who grew up in that area who also happen to really love chips and salsa, they always seem to think of the number 3. It's the weirdest thing.
I hate you a lot. I hate you a lot. Ah! Oh my gosh! My first number that popped in my head when you said we were gonna play this game the first time, it was 4. I was gonna do 4, and I was like, "Nah, that must be a thing. Everybody does 4 because my brain just said it, so that must mean everybody does 4. So I'm gonna not do 4. I'm gonna do 3, and I'll be like, "Nah, that's probably what everybody does too. They say no 4. I'll do the next number I can think of, which is right next to it. So no, I'm not gonna do 3 either. I'm gonna do 2. That was my
You're getting deep into thinking. Angela's psychology here. Oh, deep in there.
I tried to beat you. And I didn't win. Wow, that's incredible.
Thank you so much.
But that's does she ever do that to you yeah, at home? And yeah, imagine just like, yeah, hello. Yeah. Hey, I want to go on a trip to Italy. What? Hello? Hello? Oh,
man. Dylan says that all the time. He's like, we're going to sushi. Did I really want to go? Somehow we're going to sushi. Yeah. I guess I wanted to go to sushi.
Uh-huh.
Inception.
Mm-hmm. You want to do your card
explains
thing?
It better. Let's do it. Why not?
That was cool.
Thank you. All right. Let's see. What's the best camera to show all the different cards to you right there? All right. Here we go. We got all the different playing cards here. Now, Angela, I want you to choose any card you want. Now, make sure I'm not influencing you. So I'll spread out the cards. Touch the back of anyone. Again, make sure I'm not pushing any in your direction. You can think about it. Truly anyone you want. Just touch the back, whichever one. Ooh, she's really thinking about it. Deciding. That one right there. Okay, go ahead. Take it. Take that card. Take a look. I will not look. Oh, I will also not look directly at the mirror.
Okay.
I will look over here. You can show the viewers at home.
Okay.
Out of all the different cards, you've got one?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You can slide it back in the deck anywhere you'd like. Anywhere at all. Okay, so we've got your card. You'll remember it. Now, I want to make sure everybody at home can really visualize this card. So we have a marker here.
Okay.
We have a piece of paper. I want you to go ahead and, as big as you can, draw a picture of this card.
Okay.
As large as you can right across there.
Mm-hmm.
Draw a picture of that card. That way everybody can really visualize the image of it in their minds.
This is part of the trick. It doesn't work. Is this part of the trick?
It doesn't work?
Is this a trick?
You know what? Sometimes it doesn't work for a magical reason. Sometimes out of all the different cards, inside the marker, there's something keeping it from working. Inside the marker.
No, don't you dare. Don't you.
There's one single card. Angela, I will not even touch the card.
Don't you dare.
Would you please take the card from inside the marker out of all 52 cards? Which card did you select?
Dead. I cannot with you right now. Bruh. And this has been curled up for a long time. Like, this has been in there.
It's a souvenir for you.
This is... Okay. Taking you through my thought process. When you said to draw it, I was like, oh my God, I don't remember what a card looks like. Is the four in the corner? Is it in the middle? I forget. It's going to look so ugly.
She's going back to like, I don't want to fail. I want to do this just right.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then it wouldn't work. And I was like, oh my God, poor thing. Her trick's not working because the marker's not working.
Well, I could I've done that on live TV. And it's always so interesting because everybody on set, all of a sudden, you'll see there will be 17 pens. Every production assistant, everybody.
I literally was like, Danielle has 18 Sharpies on her right now.
That's it. Danielle's also mad at the camera.
I was getting ready to grab a Sharpie. I've got plenty.
That's Danielle's wild. Making Sharpies
magically appear.
Girl, thank that's you. Wild.
Thank you so much.
That's really wild.
I appreciate that.
I'm going to put this in a frame and put it in here somewhere.
Thank you. You know what? Do we have time for one more?
Yeah,
I have a thought here. I have an idea.
Oh, my gosh.
Ooh. Give me an idea here. So we have a magical souvenir there for you, Angela. Yeah. But I thought Danielle deserves a magical souvenir too.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I don't know how to do this.
Should I film her?
Oh, we could. Whatever you like.
Okay, here.
Here we go.
Wait, I just knocked this. Okay, it's already recording.
Okay.
Right.
I'm ready.
Okay. On it. So we've got Angela on the camera. We've got Danielle here. All of the different playing cards. Boom. Anyone you want. In fact, you can even, we're only going to use one card for this trick. You can think about it, decide absolutely any card, your choice.
I pick it?
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, you can see it?
That's okay. Okay. I've seen the trick before.
Okay.
You got it?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I want to make sure this card is special, unique, unlike any other card. So go ahead, take the marker. I want you to draw anything you want right across the face of the card.
Oh, like on this
side. Right on it. You can sign it, draw something, up to you. Doesn't matter.
I was like, wait, the marker doesn't work. Where did you discover
it? We just magically restored its writing abilities. It's magic. Okay, as long as it's something on there that you will recognize, that way you know there's no other card in the world that's quite like this one.
Okay.
So you've got that card that you chose. We'll make sure that. You guys can see. Oh, Angela with the close-up shot. Yes. All right. She's a comedian slash expert videographer as well here. So we're going to take a corner of, is that a flower?
I tried.
Lovely flower. I like how it's like right in the middle there where there's that open space. Very nice. I'm going to bend a corner with a card like this. I'm going to get a good crease in it. You can see truly on both sides here, we are creasing the corner of this card. I'm actually going to tear it off in just a moment. In fact, you know what, Angela, would you like to do the honors?
Yeah.
Okay, good. reach over one hand if you can, and actually tear the corner off. Rip it right off. Okay, now, Angela, no joke, no illusion. You could feel it tear.
Yeah.
You could hear it tear.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You legit, you I tore this corner off the card.
Cool. You did that.
Yeah.
She's an athlete.
Yeah. She's a pro comedian and videographer and athlete. Woman of many talents. We'll take the corner of your Ten of Spades. I'm going to place it inside my magical pocket of mystery. Right there. Magical pocket of mystery.
Okay.
We'll take it invisibly from the pocket in 3, 2, one, Danielle, say go.
Go.
It flies invisibly and it fuses right back onto one card.
No.
No glue.
Way.
No tape. That has your beautiful flower on it, which means, Danielle, that is a souvenir for you, Danielle, to keep as a memory.
Wow. That's wild. Very impressed.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you so much.
That, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Wow. That's so wild.
Oh my God. Thank you.
Girl.
So cool. Thank you so much. Thank you all for having me.
Oh my gosh. This was so fun.
This was such a blast. I loved getting to meet you all and hang out.
Yeah, I loved getting to know you, hear your story, and I mean, just so cool. Your gift that you have is so cool, and like hearing a little bit of like the process behind it, and like honestly too, like so magic, it feels still so magical, but like you humanize it, like
thank you.
It's so like you humanize it, but it's also still wondrous.
Thank you. That's what a lovely compliment, because I think sometimes magic gets a rep of like people think, okay, the magician shows up and is this like all powerful magician figure, and to me that's never really been appealing, because I think it's about connecting, right? Like, what is magic about if it's not about like sharing that experience of wonder, making people feel like they're a kid again, having fun. Like, I want people to leave the show laughing, smiling, like having had fun. I don't want them to be like, ugh, I'm like, I don't want them to be like, my attitude is that the magician is almighty powerful. You know, that just feels like a persona that doesn't really land with me. It doesn't feel true to who I am. So, so thank you for saying that.
If you ever retire from magic, I would love for you to have a late night radio talk show with your voice. Your voice needs to be on a rainy day, just soothing us all, reminding us that there's hope for another day.
How kind.
Like, I love your voice. Yeah. Yeah.
That great memories. That makes me feel nostalgic when I think about the radio.
Yeah.
Nostalgia. Thank you for what a lovely thing.
I felt part again. Of the memory. As soon as you were like, that's nostalgic, Delilah. Yeah, I was like, I'm there. Thank you so much for being here. We thoroughly enjoyed this this conversation with you. And
thank you so much for having me.
Cannot wait to see your show.
So excited to have you.
Same. And by the time this comes out, I will have seen your show. But I cannot wait. So maybe I'll have some follow-up videos or of your show. I'm not gonna post your show, but you know, us going and like with you, like saying hi to you or something like that.
I would love that so much.
Yeah, but thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us too. And thank you everybody for watching and listening.
Danielle, we'll see ya. Thank you.